The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
You're now in the Essential Zone, where we seek to be informative, inspirational, enlightening, and dynamic. But more importantly, we seek to be fair and balanced. There comes a time when the game tolerates no spectators, only players. There comes a time when we must recognize that our individual aspirations shape our collective destiny. There comes a time when getting in the game, despite the risks, despite the challenges, regardless of the cost, is simply the right thing to do. There comes a time when we must find our hearts, find our soul, and pursue our purpose for the greater good of all, for country, for humanity. There comes a time when we must manifest our true greatness. Yes, there comes a time, and that time is now. So let's get down to the essentials. The Essentials, serious radio for serious people committed to advancing the national conversation. Good evening and welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I am your host, Hubert Edwards, here on The Essentials, The Reset. As usual, we're going to have ourselves a wonderful conversation. We ask you to join us. The numbers are 323-6232, 325-4259, 325-4316, and our text line 422-4796. So you want to be in on the conversation, then certainly feel free. We're doing this remote today, so maybe a little bit of a delay, but we're working with the producer who's going to send us your texts, and we will be able to read those and to hear what your contribution is. And so we're going to jump into it. But we have a very special guest this evening, and we're doing something which is different. Usually, we talk about issues which are popping up every day in the community. We base our shows on articles, on some other form of literature based on something which someone has said. But this evening, we're going to have a conversation around a poem. Yes, a poem, a single poem, a long one. But a single point. And this is based on the idea of leadership. And I'm sure as soon as you hear the word leadership, you're saying, okay, that again. Edwards, you're discussing leadership again. By now, you would be aware. I'm sure if you listen to me regularly, you know that's one of my favorite topics to discuss. But this one has a twist, very, very important twist. And I believe that you're going to enjoy. But before we get there, let me add to the twist. Let me add to the intrigue. In my book, Think, Act, Grow, there is a passage on page 231 that says, starts at the top, which says, leadership is about inspiring others to achieve more than they think they're capable of and become more than they imagine. So that's my kind of definition, my kind of recoining of this old leadership thing. And the discussion we're going to have this evening is not really about that, but it's close. And we're going to make the connection. What I really want to draw to your attention are the questions on in that passage. And it asks a couple of questions. Are you an empathetic leader? As a leader, do you claim the wins and disown the losses? Do you display a sense of superiority as a leader? How effective are you in galvanizing your team without expressing empathy? How selfless are you as a leader? And then it goes on to say, now ask, read these questions again. And ask each of these questions of your leader, the people who lead you. So in the first instance, you're looking at it from the perspective of you being the leader. Now we're asking you to ask them again of the persons who lead you. Because we believe that if you operate with a healthy amount of empathy, you will be able to influence your team and you will be able to help them to grow in significance. And so we have with us this evening Mr. Roger Colebrook. He is a poet, he's a writer, he's a songwriter, he's an author, he is a hotelier, he's many, many things. But this evening, he's going to be our leadership guru from a different perspective. The poem is Leadership Vacuum, a poet's view of the national leadership void in developing nations. Roddy, welcome back to The Essentials.
Well, thank you, Mr. Edwards. It's a pleasure to be here with you at this time to really talk about this very, very important topic.
Yes. And, you know, as we just get to the title itself, Leadership Vacuum, and it's a poet's view of national leadership void in a developing nation. Usually, you don't get poets taking on these type of issues per se. It's usually a little bit more either, entertaining or introspective or revealing, but an issue such as national leadership, making the point that there is a national leadership void in developing nations. There's a leadership vacuum. Why did you decide to do this? Why did you take a poet's perspective to this?
Well, this wasn't supposed to happen, by the way. Write a poem. It wasn't supposed to be a poem. It wasn't supposed to be a book. These were just thoughts. Thoughts that swirled around in my mind. You know, I think I have a mind that probably needs to be filled with something. And as something comes in, something goes out. And I started thinking about leadership with my 30 years of experience out in the hotel industry and also speaking with many people in different industries and different areas. I couldn't help but to just put my pen to paper. And instead of me writing a story, instead of me writing a book, instead of me philosophizing in some different way, I just had to write a poem to this. And it just happened. It just happened. I tell you, Mr. Edwards, I just couldn't believe it as it started just coming out from one point to the other, to the other, to the other, and I couldn't stop.
Yeah. So what was the influence? Is this an expression of a personal experience? Is this an expression of your observation about what's going on in the country, in other countries that you have been? Is this a function of the fact that you have, experience in multiple jurisdictions? What caused you to sit down and start to ask yourself the question, is there a leadership vacuum? And is there a particular issue which is attached to the national leadership in a certain group of countries?
Let me just be honest with you straight up. This poem that I wrote, It is interesting from the point of view because I'm being straightforward with it. You see, when these words started to come to me, it was more or less, oh, geez, I can't write about this because this is going to hurt somebody's feelings. Some people are going to start looking at me and start arguing with me or getting angry. Some people in the leadership positions might say, hey, how dare I speak on these topics? But it was something that I had to speak on. So in other words, the poem dealt with issues such as foreigners who are leading in places and foreigners replacing foreigners in jobs here in the Bahamas instead of passing it on to the Bahamian workers and helping them out. Now, I have to tell you that everyone out there may not be interested in being leaders. But those Bahamians out there, those people who are struggling to get ahead and really fighting and hitting the glass ceiling each and every time, I had to start writing about things as such that I experienced, that I have heard of, that I know about.
Okay. And so there is the twist, ladies and gentlemen. It's not a straight leadership discussion. Because the first stanza goes like this. Listen up, everyone, as I say a few words. Silence is golden in this part of the world. we must open our eyes to clearly see that the corporate summit evades you and me.
Let's look at that. You know, when we talk about the corporate summit, we're not talking about just, you know, somebody who has a little mom and shop store in there. When we talk about big corporations, when we talk about major companies coming in, look at the summit. Tell me, who do you see leading? You would see people from other countries or destinations who would be leading those particular areas. And if it's not them who are leading, it's somebody from a different country whereby we would need permission from them to actually make decisions. So when you say, listen up, everyone, as I say a few words, silence is golden in this part of the world. You see, we are so quiet and passive about many of these things that happen. And because we're in a situation sometimes where we need to work, we need a job, we're not going to rock the boat. We're going to just be cool and easy. So that corporate summit evades you and me. And that's what I wanted to point out, first of all. And if we go on, look at major businesses, if you please. Foreigners are leading, forever it seems. Is this part of a master plan? Well, listen to me, and you will understand.
Yeah.
This is what I want.
Let's talk about that. This idea of there being a master plan, is it a cultural perpetuation? So we came, we saw, we do the same. Or is there a more overt or covert type of an arrangement designed to keep certain people out of the system, if you will? Or is it the fact that we do not make enough or take enough intentional steps to ensure that persons of local origin, individuals who are from right here in the Bahamas, have greater opportunity to be part and parcel of that corporate summit that you speak about?
Well, you know, that's a major thing that happens. And it is nearly like a secret that we don't want you to know, or that they wouldn't want you to know. You see, the Bahamas right now, the Bahamas is sweet. This is a sweet country. You know, you come here, you come on vacation, you love it. Our Bahamas, our sun, sea, our sun, our people, our warmth. When you come here and you start to work, you don't want to go anywhere else. If you get the opportunity to work here in higher levels, there's no way you want to go back to your own country. I challenge anybody out there right now to look around and tell me who out there came here, started working at the top levels of companies and wanted to run back home or didn't want to stay here. Because you know what? The benefits here are so great. But just being in this environment is so awesome. They want to stay. So this is some of the quiet unknowns. Go ahead.
I have a question for you. So we're talking about individuals, human beings. And these persons are employees within a particular corporation. The corporation happens to start a business, have some operations here in the Bahamas. So those individuals, they have their own personal aspirations and goal to be at the top, yeah?
Yes.
Just like you would, and just like if I had the opportunity, I would. The question I have for you, therefore, is why would we make an argument about these individuals wanting to stay? Shouldn't it be a question of whether there is equal opportunity and equity in anyone who wants to get to that summit, that corporate summit, as you would have outlined?
Well, let's put it like this. Many years ago, and I don't want to really talk politics here, but many years ago under the Pinling administration, one thing that happened was a Bahamianization policy where anybody who wanted to start a company down here or a corporation, they would have somebody that would mirror the leader or someone that would be, for lack of a better word, an understudy for that particular position so that we could have Bahamians learn exactly what it is that they're doing so they can take over in 2 years, in 3 years or so. So what has happened is those folks who were understudies, they somehow or the other got transferred to another area, moved to another area, maybe was let go by the company, so that they never had a chance to really take over. And the administration never really watched that to see, to say that, hey, hold on. After 3 years, it was your time to go. Up, time to go, because we needed to put a Bahamian in that spot. But it was going on, and then it stopped. So you had that void there in leadership. So now you see where Bahamians are still fighting. Those who have aspirations to lead are still fighting to get ahead, but it becomes complicated. And that's why I had to write something that speaks to the complicated issues.
You say in the next stanza, those who are working should stay where they are, never progress, and you will be a star. Polish the watch at the end of 30 years, put your kids through school and celebrate with your peers. So essentially, you're making the point that for locals going into these organizations, to do what Bahamian generally may refer to as stay in your lane, sit small until your name called, things like those. If you do that, you have the ability or the possibility of you serving out a particular tenor is going to be greater. But if you have aspirations for moving or for progressing, you are going to kind of start to hit up against the walls, hit up against the glass ceiling, hit up against tensions, which is going to push you out of that lane. Why is this so? Why has this happened? In a country where after almost 50 years of independence, after a reasonable period of Bahamianization, why is this so?
Let's go back to what I said beforehand. The Bahamas is sweet. You know, we want to, you know, it's easier if people stay back and just do their jobs and be happy in their jobs whilst the people at the top really stay in their positions. However, that part of the poem I want you to understand is pure sarcasm. Mm-hmm. Sarcasm. And I that's where people should think. You know, those who are working should stay where they are and never progress and they'll be a star. Pure sarcasm. You know, why is it that we should stay where we are? We should never accept that. That's mediocrity. But that's what people would want you to do. And I, you know what, it goes on. Just the worker you're meant to be, not able to climb to the top of the tree. You'll get to the window, but never the roof. Just look around and see the proof. You see, the thing is, if you are just a worker and you climb bit by bit by bit, you will really never get to the top. Like I said, that you will get to the window. You won't get there. So I have to be absolutely honest. And this is a tough and honest poem that is telling people it will be hard because you will be put in a situation whereby you should not succeed and reach the very top. In this poem, as you could see, I expanded on that a little further as we go on. Yeah. Now, I don't want to read the whole poem now because I want it to be a nice little tease because I want people to really look at this, grasp it, and grab a hold of this later on when this comes out so that we could have a national discussion on something like this because it's very important.
Yeah. My question to you, though, is you made the argument, which is, I think, an easy argument to make that the Bahamas is sweet. But isn't that a oversimplification of what you are proposing is a national problem? Because if that is the only basis on which persons are unable to advance themselves, then clearly there must have been a very simple way of causing some intervention in that whole process to ensure that more persons are moving up the ladder. Or is it a case where, you know, there's not really a problem that maybe persons are satisfied, maybe the ones who are able and capable are actually moving up, but others may be you know, not stepping forward enough and have some sort of a complaint that, you know, things are not going their way. What really, where really is the true problem? Where
but you remember now, but you remember, I actually said that a little earlier. You know, for the people who want to stay and be comfortable, they can do that. There are people who have been guest service agents for 20 years or operators for 20 years mm-hmm. or secretaries for 20 years, and God bless them. We need them, and we need great ones or administrative assistants who are great and they contribute in a wonderful way. But those who want to progress and to do really well, they have a challenge here in the Bahamas, and we have to figure out exactly what they can do. But when you really examine certain things, you know, when you talk about school, the educational process, they're in school and they look up later on, oh my goodness, what am I going to do when I get out of school? How many years am I going to work before I could get somewhere really where I could earn a really good living? Do I have to stay in my current living conditions, probably? Let's say somebody who may not be at a high level and they want to rise to the top and make it from one level in society up to the higher echelons where you'd find, you know, more of the affluent foreigners who might be there and with the jobs. And those are the things that we have to look at. Just tell me, why is it that many students or many kids who got out of college don't want to come back or refuse to come back home right away? I was one of them once upon a time, you know. Yeah. I was away in college, man, and I got a job out there, and it was really nice, and I was doing well. But the problem with me is I always wanted to come back home. I wanted to contribute. I wanted to be a part of my Bahama land and build and really grow and do much better and help us reach a certain level. I said, I wanted to do this. I'm educated. I've been trained. I work for the top hotels over there. There's no way that I could come back home and not find a job or be in a really great position. So when I came back, do you have this available? Well, sir, we don't have this for you. Okay, well, are you going to pay me this salary? Well, no, we can't pay you what they paid you over there. Remember now, they had taxes over there. So when they took the taxes off, you would be making this. So you say, hold on now. You're telling me you want to cut my salary or don't want to pay me what they paid me over there because you're saying that they add taxes onto it. Mm-hmm. So we're going to cut it down to what it should be or equal here. And then you're not going to give me everything else that you've given all the others who, you know, I hate to say, I don't hate to say it, it's reality. It's the foreigners you'll give it to. So tell me something, how sweet is that? How sweet is that when somebody who is less qualified, not as good as you, you work really hard for, and you look around and you see this going on. And there is no way you could feel comfortable with that. No way. No way.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you and I hear you loud and clear. What I'm trying to do really though is to kind of broaden this conversation because in the first instance, like you said, you were working abroad, right? Mm-hmm. So you were working in a country, not your country. Mm-hmm. You had a good job, a relatively good job. Mm-hmm. Arguably, you had a job that a local person in that country could have. Mm-hmm. And the conversation could have gone the exact same way that that kind of the line which you're pushing it. My broader question is, what systemically is happening in the Bahamas which prevents you or anyone who is appropriately well qualified to come into the system? And two, through your own sweat and tears, your great effort, giving good service, mm-hmm. gain the type of a result and get to the levels where your effort and your productivity good. Suggest that you ought to be.
Good. I'll tell you that. And it's very easy, once again. It's very easy to tell you that. And there's a level of simplicity with it. You see, let's say a guy who might be a dishwasher. and he brings his son in to see the job that he does. He say, son, here I am. This is where I work. I'm a dishwasher. And here it's what we do. You have to clean your plates. You have to make sure I get everything ready. You clean everything up and you put it there so that you could give the people their food and have it ready. Now, that's what one might say. Now, on the other hand, the leader of the company, the GM or the CEO or the COO of the company, you know what they would do? They would bring their child in and say, look here, I want you to sit to the side in this meeting. I want you to hear what's going on. I want you to listen from under the table. See how I run the meeting. See how I discuss these different issues. I'm going to send you to the dishwasher for a day so that you could understand dishwashing. Not for that whole month or that whole week, or put you in there. I'm going to put you there for a little while. Then I'm going to move you to another area, and then another area, and then another area. So you get that training. What we have to do, and in this poem covers that, where we have to develop a training program completely, where we are building leaders. I'm telling you, one thing that is so beautiful that was done many years ago, even for me, the Junior Achievement Program that I was a part of. And I am so thankful that I was a part of the Junior Achievement Program, because at one summer, I had the chance through that program to stay in a hotel or to work for a hotel where I was on a training program going from one area to the next area to the next area to the next area so I could get a good view of what was going on. And I could see it from a different angle from somebody who's just going in there to sweep the floor, to clean this area or that. You see, when you don't see, or when you don't have the opportunity to see things from a different level, I can't blame you fully. Just like the man who lives in let's say a slum, he is not poor. He is happy. He is very happy playing marbles in the dirt or swinging on the tree or rolling in the grass. You know why he's happy? Because that's what he knows. But when you take that person and you take them in the Bel Air type situation and you let them see how other people live, where, wow, their house is that big. Oh my goodness, they have a couple cars. Oh, the kids have the biggest swings and football field in their yards and different things like that. Then it's a whole different situation. It's perspective. It's training people, letting them understand that you too can become better. And here's what you have to do. Here's what you have to look at. Now, we can't expect everybody to want to do this, but those who are willing and those who are able and those who want to make a difference, well, by darn, we should go ahead and teach them. But we have to expose them to a different side. We have to expose them.
To what extent do you think that our character from the ghetto is getting this look at Bel Air, but is prevented through whatsoever structural mechanism exists, whatsoever structural cultural behavior exists? What is that thing? To what extent are things out there which are keeping him, right, from experiencing this new version of happiness? Because, you know, like you said, he was always happy because his view of the world was limited. Now he has a new view of what happiness is. What's keeping him from that?
Fear.
From the human context?
Fear. You know why? Because you belong here. This is where you should be. Go right back to your corner, boy. How dare you think you belong here? Look here, you're not educated. You're not smart. You can't read. You can't write. Huh? Do you see what we have here? So now he's afraid to get and move to these areas, different areas. So he needs you, H.E. He needs me, Roderick Colebrook. He needs all the persons out there who are listening right now to be able to tell somebody out there, you are great. You can do this. You can move ahead. But there are people who are also listening, recognize the fact that they might have been put in a situation too where they couldn't move forward or be much further than where they were. As a matter of fact, I spoke to a young lady the other day, and I guess young is relative. She's been in the industry for 25 years. And one of the things she said to me is
that she's been in the industry.
In the hotel industry. Right. Well, she was a waitress for about 25 years. And she said to me that, wow, I you know what? I'm tired of doing this job. You know, I just moved to another area and I could see the same things 20 years ago. I wonder if there's a position available somewhere where I could maybe jump to a supervisor or something like that. I said, okay, you right now had 25 years in the industry, mm-hmm. in the food and beverage industry. Yeah, you might have been a server or a cocktail waitress, and you are looking to be a supervisor. Why? And her boss is someone who just got out of school or who was not even in the area before. But she felt as if she could probably learn and work under him to get experience. And when we really look at it, our confidence level, some of our folks' confidence level is so low because after working for 25 years in an industry and you feel as if you can't go any higher, that's a problem. So isn't that our problem as well, where we have to teach people to be more than where they are or to help them out in some way or provide training and to do a little bit more and show them that they could get to the top somehow or the other?
Yeah. We want to take a break here. We're having this conversation with Roderick Colebrook. He is a hotelier. He's been in the hotel industry for a number of years, worked in the United States, came back. We are exploring this thing. I am tugging at him. He is providing us with some insight. My question is, when we come back from the break, is the extent to which the experience of this waitress, what exactly is stopping her from moving? And I'll explain to you what I mean by moving when we come back on the other side. You listen to The Essentials, The Reset. Don't move. Come right back.
Around the world, Cleveland Clinic is recognized as a leader in healthcare. Our team of experts relentlessly pursues the best for our patients. From groundbreaking cancer research to state-of-the-art heart surgery, life-saving innovations happen here every day. When it's time to travel for your health, it's time to travel to Cleveland Clinic, your destination for care. For every care in the world. To learn more, visit clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
I don't know if it's the way the sauce is prepared, but I could literally eat Balo's jerk all day. I mean, for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It's very addictive, and I encourage everyone to try it at least once. And I promise you, it won't be the last.
Big up Balo's jerk, the best authentic yard jerk chicken spot on the island. And that's the thing. Big up yourself, Balu's.
Balu's Jerk is the best in town. Their meat and their sauce is on point. You gotta try it.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM.
Radio, welcome back to The Essentials, The Reset. We're having a conversation here with Roddy Colebrook. He is an individual who's very experienced in the hotel industry. He's also an author, a songwriter, a poet. Mm-hmm. And so we're having this conversation around the idea of how do you progress? How do you progress within an industry? Because from his perspective, his poet's view, there is a leadership vacuum. And the twist on that is that is he's not saying that they are not persons who are leaders, but there seem to be a limitation in capacity for persons to grow. And so we want to explore that with him. I understand that we have a caller on the line. Caller, go ahead. You're on Guardian Radio. You're on The Essentials.
Hello.
Hello, go ahead.
Good evening, Mr. Edwards. How you doing?
Good evening, Sparky.
Yeah, I was listening to your guest a minute ago, and, you know, he's so on point with his discussion with you as to how they treat us in our own country. But before I make a comment, I would like to make a comment in regards to a gentleman that I worked for who just passed away last month sometime.
Okay.
The right Mr. Jeffrey R. Albury, who used to be the general manager of Purity Bakery for over 35 years. He moved from Purity Bakery and then he went to Island Wholesale as general manager of Island Wholesale, and then ended up as managing director of Island Wholesale. He went to Eastern Senior Primary School, then to QC, went to Royal Bank and moved up. And I remember as my boss at Purity Bakery where I worked at accounts receivables, I remember one day he telling me something like the same thing your gentleman is talking about, Mr. Edwards. He said to me, he said, Vince, let me tell you something. To move up, I have to teach somebody but know me what I do.
Mm-hmm.
I will teach them everything I know, because when the board of directors want to move me up, they need somebody to follow to sit in my place. If I don't teach nobody below me what I do, they will leave me right here forever, because they wouldn't need me to move. They would just hire somebody else up there. So when they're ready to promote me to managing director from general manager, I would be ready to move, because I could tell them, well, this is the new general manager who I train. Put him in my spot, so we keep moving up the ladder. We got some people, when they get to the top, they want to hog it up for themselves, and they don't want to teach nobody below them. They want you to be in the backyard reading and picking up paper the rest of your life, and you don't have no aspirations to move. That's how we treat our own people in our country. We let foreigners come in there and take over, and we treat one another as behemoths like dogs. Have a good day.
Thank you so much, Sparky. And you draw me to the point where I want to get to with Ruddy in a bit. But let's talk a bit about movement, Ruddy. So if you're in a corporate setting, you have an option. You're working for someone. You're working for the individuals who would have invested their money, taken the risk, and started an organization. And if you made the argument that it is difficult to move up, because you are qualified, you feel that you have the experience, you have done what you think you are asked to do, you've done that at a high level, but there's no upward movement.
Mm-hmm.
As an individual, there's still a possibility of movement. What therefore stops that person from stepping out into maybe a different arena, stepping into a different lane? Or as it relates to the hotel industry, why would there not be more entrepreneurial endeavors from a local perspective if this is the predominant behavior that happens in that arena?
Well, you're absolutely right. If a corporation is out there, they want to have their people who are at the top. And when you move to a certain extent, you're going to bump into what we call the glass ceiling. You know, this, when I spoke about this beforehand to one of the schools, it was like a glass ceiling. What is that? And that is, you know, when you work for a company, you can only go so far and not higher. And that's because there's a ceiling that you get to where you're blocked from going any higher. And that's because it's probably a mom and dad who are owners of the company, and they're going to let their daughter become president or something later, or it's a big corporation whereby they won't allow you to get any further because the big boss is going to keep you to a certain level. So you hit that glass ceiling. And that's one of the things, is that we have to be strong enough, bold enough, courageous enough to get out of that box and say, you know what, if I can only get this far in this industry or in this particular place, then I have to go somewhere else. I have to start looking at different opportunities out there and make my name for myself. You know, there are examples out there of people from different countries who made their names for themselves in terms of hotel industries and different businesses around. I mean, Sandals out there right now. I mean, you know, when Bud Stewart went out there and created his own industry or his own hotel company brand, I'm looking forward to seeing others do that over here.
You know, why do you think that there has not been, except for maybe in what you could refer to as the smaller boutique type of, you know, hotel endeavors, why do you think that there are not more Bahamian investors in big operations like Sandals or Breezes, which were, as I understand it, there were opportunities for the taking, but they weren't taken by local interests?
Well, I don't think that's completely right. It wasn't because they didn't try to take it. You know, there are different things that get in the way sometimes. You know,
such as what?
Such as, you know, what, you go ahead, you present your plan, you present your everything. You put everything on the table. You say, I'm a Bahamian company. I want to get this hotel. I want to get this casino. I want to get this. And it's like, well, I'm sorry. We have to go with a name brand. We have to go with somebody who is going to also do some this or that and the other. I've seen it happen a few times. I mean, there's no way I could talk about it, but I've seen it happen a few times where it's a Bahamian interest or Bahamian group that wanted to get into a place but couldn't. And of course, there were others out there who had bigger teeth or bigger pockets than them who might have gotten a deal. So even though a Bahamian wanted to get a particular deal, they didn't get it. So they have to go for a smaller piece of the pie elsewhere or try to get involved or be a part of it.
So are we talking about a systemic reality, whether it's overt or covert, intentional, or just happened to be, which seemed to galvanize and harden itself against the local interests?
Well, that's why there has to be, that's why we have to start looking at these things and we have to open our eyes to clearly see. And that's what I'm talking about in this book. Open our eyes and see that there will be tough things that comes our way, and we have to figure out ways to get over this. Mm-hmm. We have to get over it because it's not going to stop. I mean, and success by any means comes not because it's an easy road, but because the obstacles that we face, and it makes it so much sweeter when we get there. I can see a day when some Bahamians will get out there and be able to make a difference in this country and be much bigger than anybody ever imagined. And it'll be in our time.
On what basis do you make that argument?
Because they'll read my book. This government is promoting artists, and artists who share in their thoughts, their feeling, their culture, their beliefs, their vibes, the way forward. And when you start seeing these individuals, these brilliant minds come together, they can't help but to expand businesses in many different areas. We'll see the top people in the banks who are Bahamian. We'll see the top hoteliers straight through being Bahamians. We'll see other entrepreneurs, you know, start blossoming in terms of their own businesses right around the country, and who don't hold the things to themselves or their knowledge to themselves, but effectively train others to also expand their knowledge, their base, and become a better person in society.
You know, I think as we have these type of a conversation, you know, while we may be, you know, sometime based on our own experiences, we're talking within a narrow frame. You, for example, may be the hotel industry. I may be in financial services because that's where my background is. We have to now start to think, and I want to join you in saying, you know, hopefully we see that day. But what would convince me, what would convince Hubert Edwards in this moment that there is a fundamental shift? There are things being done. You know, when you juxtaposition what we are saying against a once hard policy of, say, behemonization, there was a time when that meant something. At this point in time, you could say, well, you know, that is watered down to some extent, but it was a thing, it was a policy. What, therefore, is that policy shift? What, therefore, is that movement? What, therefore, is that facilitation which is currently taking place, which is going to bear the fruits of the future, which is going to create this more advantageous position for the local individual, for the local entrepreneur, for the local investor to be more dominant in the investment arena, in the entrepreneurial arena, in the leadership arena, in terms of leading organization? What exactly is happening? Because, you know, I'm going to be honest with you, I don't see anything fundamentally different. I think I've lost you. You've losing me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Can you hear me now?
Nope.
Over to you, Roddy.
All right.
I'm not sure if we're having some. Go ahead.
All right, let's see. I'm hoping that I come through clearly if you're not. But you don't see certain things. And you probably, where you're sitting, you probably won't see. Where you're sitting, you may not hear. But I think that you would. And, you know, the reality is that many minds out there are changing in terms of what could happen. When we talk about, and when we look around and we see more Bahamians involved in even, let's say, short-term rentals, where they can now start competing and realizing that, wow, if I have an apartment or if I have a room next added onto my house or a duplex or something, I can literally put it on one of the Airbnbs or something else like that and turn it over. And with my two rooms, I could generate so much more money than I ever did before working my regular job. Wow, I need to make this happen. When you see Bahamians now thinking about investing much more than they have beforehand, when you see the Bitcoins that Bahamians are now taking much more interest in and talking about it, and when you see the companies that are now moving to the Bahamas and getting more Bahamians involved, and letting everybody know the way of the future, and we're seeing what's going on, and we're getting much more involved in it, then you can see a change happening. When you see the old areas becoming new areas, when you see the market and people are buying now, and more visitors coming in, you get that feeling that it's gonna be a fantastic area now in the Bahamas, barring nothing else happens like what we've been through the last 2 years and with the hurricanes.
How do we start to ensure that shift becomes endemic and not again create a new cycle where we end up with different players but kind of the same game? How do we guard against that? Because if we make the argument that in the first instance, you know, it's kind of like discussing colonialism.
Yes.
And we make some harsh statements against the system of colonialism and how we were treated as a people and so on and so forth. And then the players change.
Yes, yes,
but
yes.
The game remained the same.
Yeah, the game remained the same. And you know why? Because it's no national plan. You know, we don't need a PLP plan and a FNM plan, a BDM plan, or give me some of the other words. BDM,
NDA,
all of those. You know what? We need a national plan
that
would come in place. No, no, no. One that everyone buy into and say, no matter who is in leadership, we will do this. And that brings me back to my book, my poem. And I put it there as, is there one person who can understand they're needed, if only to prepare this plan and set out from now to make a difference unseen for prosperity untold when we begin to change? If we plant our seeds and nurture them as they grow, we'll have trees ready to reap what we sow. Just like our people, we will begin to see a better off nation for you and me. You see, what it is, H.E., is the fact that we have to make sure that our persons who are in school, our students right now, can start thinking of how we can go ahead and build this plan. A lot of them are saying, well, I'm not going to do it because someone else is doing it. Or I'm not going to do it because that one from that party is doing it. And then we realize that nobody is doing it. Or somebody set it up and just put it to the side and say, well, we'll look at it and we'll get back to it. But that's where we have to get serious minded, and say, look, this is what we're going to do. And we need people with the courage, with the guts, with the fortitude. You know, they call it something else type of fortitude. Mm-hmm. But, you know, so much more to make sure that we can literally do this. But it takes planning and it takes courage. And that's what we're talking about here. See, because we're not meant to be a nation of servants. This thought creates a disturbance, you know? But when we serve, we must be the best, judged by merit, and never settle for less. H.E., we have to develop a plan that we can keep and use, but even though one has been made, we have to say we're going to do it. Yeah. We have to say we're going to do it and not just play it with words. I am somebody who is a true believer that you get in there and you roll up your sleeve, you work hard, you go at it, and you be a bulldog through it, but nicely, of course, be a nice bulldog and get the work done, get the job done, make it happen.
The question I have for you is, in your own words, is there one person who can understand that they're needed, if only, to prepare this plan? I think those are powerful words, because it might be that individuals see themselves as having a different function. It might be that individuals see themselves as having different objectives. But it could be that there is a need for that one who is going to create the plan. He's going to start an impetus towards something else. So my question to you, as you look around the environment, as you look around the community, as you look around the country, is there that one?
Yeah, let me tell you. There was one time I was sitting down in the cafeteria, and I was with one of one of my senior managers in the cafeteria, and the CEO, the big CEO of the company came. And he sat at the table with us in the cafeteria. And he said, you know what? Oh, he's so tired right now because he's been listening to the stuff about the financial reports and all that and trying to figure out how to get us and wrap around it. So the manager said, well, how do y'all calculate the bonus structure and how do you get those together? He said in a really rough way, I don't know. Shoes. That's why we have those financial people around to do it. So I sat there and I pretended like, you know, everything was cool. You know, everything is normal. But I was saying the CEO of the company doesn't know how they calculate the bonuses, they don't know how to do these things? But I thought they should know everything. But it was a beautiful experience for me at that point, because I recognized the fact that you don't have to know everything to get to the top. But what you need to know is how you could bring people together from different areas. And when you bring them together, you create this network where you could get things done. And the reason why I said that, when we talk, if there is one person who can understand that needed, if only, to prepare this plan, the person who may be that one person who may not know everything, he knows HE, who he can call to help out in one aspect. He has a top banker over in another area that he can call on, or many different people he can call on throughout this length and breadth of this Commonwealth of the Bahamas and say, let's put this together and make this work. Not one man is an army. It takes so much more to make things happen, but it takes that person with guts to bring it all together. And that's me, that's you, that's the people out there in Radio Land listening right now. Is there somebody out there who will take a stand and know that they are needed to help prepare this plan?
Yeah, is this in a way a call for national service, if you will, not in the formal sense, but a call to the hearts, mind, and soul of individuals to say, here we are as a nation, we have developed this far over a number of years, but things are at this point in time, while some are good, some persons have enjoyed great careers, some persons have enjoyed great life generally in the country. But at this moment, there is a call to all of us, to the sensibility, to the minds, to the genius of all of us, to now start thinking about where we are going to season this country to be in the next 50 years.
Yes, there is that call out there to actually say it. Look, let me just tell you one thing. For me coming on this radio show, you know, my stomach was in knots. I was feeling like, oh boy, I have to talk about this. I don't know who might want to listen or who would be out there. And my wife said, come on, baby, you know you're going to do really well. Or you can go out there because this is a part of you. This is what you want to do. Let the people understand your heart, your feelings, your motive behind it, because you want to build your country and make it much better. You want to train the young people out there, and you want the others to understand that they are really great people as well. And you have to go out there and actually do it. And that is what we expect for others out there to do. I'm blessed to have my wife to help put an elbow in my side when I needed that little movement. But we have to make sure I do the same for others out there and take away the excuses. The excuses for me is I can't write, or so I didn't write for a long time. And then when I started to write, I didn't want to share my thoughts with others because I wondered what they would say. I'll tell you another thing. I can't sing. I dare you to ask me to sing right now. Go ahead, ask me to sing. No, I won't. You know why? Because I can't sing. But what I can do is to write lyrics and have somebody else sing it. You see, so you have to find what your God-given gift is and to share it with the world. But you have to have that confidence, and you have to build yourself in such a way and have people around you who can encourage you to go ahead and make a difference. I want to encourage people out there, if you don't mind me saying, please, this is our land, this is our home. What we must do for ourselves is not get angry with what's going on out there, because that's not what I'm talking about. A guy by the name of J.C. Sweeting once said, don't get mad, get better. And that's what we should do, get better. And what does that mean by getting better? Work a little harder. Train as if you already have that position. In other words, don't work for the salary you're getting. but work for the salary that you want to get and work that hard. When your company has different functions, go to the functions, get involved, be an MC, be out there. Go shake hands with the CEO, let them know your name. Don't be just another person out there. This is if you want to get ahead, because it makes no sense us talking about leadership when we don't really give nuggets to people and tell them how. So number one, you believe in yourself. You participate on different programs at work. You go to the functions. You make yourself known. You participate. If there's a function where you're feeding people, get behind there, serve, give food, give the bread, help people out. If there's tragedy somewhere, go to where that is and help out. Become a leader in your own particular way. And as you step towards leadership and you learn and get involved in programs that would help one another, you can't help but to rise.
Definitely, I think that is good capital advice for anybody who's out there listening. So we're having this conversation around the vacuum of leadership, and basically it's from the perspective of not enough of us are rising to the level of the corporate summit or rising to the level of whatsoever endeavor that local persons are engaged in. And there may be this whole idea of the glass ceiling, persons rubbing you, pushing you out, telling you to stay in your lane. So we're going to take a break here. When we come back, we're going to take you to where Roddy just shipped us to. This whole idea of leadership, and it starts with self-leadership. But I want to ask him some questions on this idea of how do we help persons to become better than they themselves ever imagined that they could be. You're listening to The Essentials, The Reset. I am your host, Hubert Edwards, having this wonderful conversation. I don't want you to move, and if there's someone who you know who is not listening at this point in time, you have a couple of seconds to grab them and come right back. Don't move.
For the best jerk in the Bahamas, you must have Balu's. Pork, fish, and chicken served with our delicious country-style sauce and authentic festivals. Balu's, Nassau East South. Call or WhatsApp 376-8951. Balu's, the jerk with the soul of reggae and the spirit of Junkanoo. Balu's jerk, traditional, slow-cooked to perfection. 376-8951. Get yours today.
Transitioning to a healthy lifestyle can be difficult. At Fresh Market, we're making it easy to choose good-for-you foods with our endless selection of fresh produce and all-natural organic specialty products, moving you closer to your New Year's goals. So, if you're looking to shed a few pounds with a ketogenic or whole food diet, shift things completely with paleo or raw foods, or just simply eat healthier, Fresh Market is inviting you to feed your good. After all, what you eat is what you're made of.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM.
And welcome back to The Essentials. We are in the final segment, the last 30 minutes or so of this show. And we started at a place where we talk about the vacuum of leadership. And we base this conversation not on some other broad experiences, but it was fueled by a poem which was undergirded by some experiences. And we wanted to raise the question as to exactly what persons are experiencing in various organizations, corporations. Roddy Colebrook sought to share his views. Of course, I tugged on them. And the idea of tugging is basically what we do. We have conversations because we want them to be fundamental. We want them to be sound. We want them to be such that they can inform a different way of thinking. We heard from Sparky, and he gave this wonderful example of an individual who spent many years in a particular industry, but also had the recognition that in order for him himself to move to higher heights, for him to be elevated, he must consistently be working and elevating others. And so it takes us kind of full circle to the place where I started when I gave you this quote from my book, which says, "Leadership is about inspiring others to achieve more than they think they are capable of, and to become more than they imagine." Roddy, there's some persons out there really today who may be similar or of like mind of the example you gave of this individual who lives in the ghetto, who play marble, who is very comfortable and happy only for the reason that he doesn't know anything else. He doesn't see more. He doesn't want more. He doesn't do more because he doesn't see more. And it requires an inspiring moment, him moving from one locale to the next. In the example you use is to take him to that Bel-Air type of a circumstances where you suddenly see persons in big house, large yards, large pool, all of that sort of circumstance. The idea for us here is not necessarily to move people physically, but how do we move individuals at a mental level, at an emotional level? How do we inspire other individuals in this time and age to become that entity that they're capable of, to see their own potential, to make sure that they can become more, do more, have more?
You know what? That's a really great question. And you know what? It would take me, it would take many others to literally go there and start saying that we have to share ourselves with others, share our stories. I never got where I was because I didn't have help, or that there wasn't others that had to put it into me. Take, for instance, I remember one time I walked into a meeting and I saw a guy by the name of a Keith Major and a Clement Foster having a mad discussion. And they were arguing with one another and doing it in such a nice intellectual way. And one would hit the other back and forth. And they were doing it so lovely. It was like nearly like watching a ballet, a performance, where it was so great. And I said, wow, if I could articulate myself like those gentlemen, I would be so happy. I remember there was a guy who reached out to me when I was in Las Vegas at one point. He was right here in Nassau. His name was Lambert Ramming. He heard about some of the things that I was doing over there. And he said, "Roddy, I see what you're doing. I hear what you're doing over there in college. Keep up the good work. I'm proud of you." And I said, Lambert Ramming calling me, and I don't know how he found me to say that. So, and I have to tell you something else. A Franklin Wilson, many, many years ago, encouraged me to go off to school. He said, "Roderick, look here, for someone like you, man, just save for 2 years and go off to school. Save for 2 years to pay for your tuition. And believe you me, that you will find a way to finish school and come back and make the Bahamas better." And you know what? I did exactly that. But I now, it is my responsibility. And many people like me who had the opportunity to do different things is to put in to other people. Every time you see me, I want you to see a person who is an inspiration to someone else. That is the type of persons that I want to see out there as well, injecting themselves in others in a way that would benefit them. And that is how we can move the curve. You ask, what is it like for a young man to playing with marbles and dirt road and all that, and then saying other things and moving up. I'll give you a story about a young man who I shot marbles with as a kid. Now, I have to tell you, he used to get on my nerves. The reason why is he was so confident right there in Yellow Elder. We wiped the ground, we did our circle, we threw our marbles in, and we shot marbles. And you know what he had this attitude was? He was going to be the best, and he was going to beat everybody at marbles. And he came to our part of the road with the level of confidence that he was going to do it. And that man now, who was a little boy back then, with his confidence, can you believe who that person is? Michael Pintard. I remember him years ago shooting marbles on the street with me. Not with me, I think he might have beaten me. And I remember that, but that confidence level. But the idea is for all of us, when we see different, we must make a change out there. For everyone, for you and for me. And that's what I want to do. And that's what I think we should do to make a difference out there. I hope I answered your question.
Yes, definitely. But I'm trying to get at, because I believe, Roddy, that there is not enough individuals who are thinking in the way you are thinking. I think too often we go about this in a rather selfish way.
Hey, yes, forgive me. But so what? So what? Everyone won't be thinking like me or want to give like me. But it doesn't mean I shouldn't do it. And what it would take is for me then to work a little harder to tell more people and to share my experience with more people.
I hear that from you. The truth is, my statement is a call to more persons who are capable, who have been given opportunities, who have gone through whatsoever the fire is and have made something of their lives. I believe that too many of us act too selfishly. I believe that too many of us do not believe in stepping outside of our own sacred circle and pulling someone up. I believe that there are too many persons who do not believe in this idea of sacrificing time and sacrificing resources to help others. As long as we cannot identify a beeline in which something that we do bounces back directly to us, we're not going to be involved in that. And so the call here basically is this. If we're going to be a better people, if we're going to be a better country, if we're going to arrest some of the things which we talked about earlier in this discussion, then you need more persons. Because as much as you would want to be more effective and to give more, you can't be at all place at all time, and you can't be all things to all people. So the more of us who are involved in that transaction, the better ultimately the country is going to be.
I agree with you completely. If more people get involved, my time, my energy, my focus have to be on the positivity and pull as many people along with me and say, hey, let's go. Let's get this done. Let's really work. And the negativity, I have to not carry that burden with me, because if I carry that burden and know that so many people are just standing to the side, and not wanting to help or just talk negatively, then I can't be as effective. You know, I saw the singing pastor or the singing bishop, man, when he light up the room based on his singing and his laughter and by the way he speaks. And I see him feeding people. I see him taking care of the congregation. I see him taking care of the community. And I could only say, wow, and talk about him with nothing but sincere love and gratitude, because I see what they're doing. I will uplift those type of people who are out there, the people who are in the feeding programs that are helping our people all over. I remember World Health Kitchen and all those people out there who are helping to feed the people in Freeport, Grand Bahama after Dorian. I could only cheer them on and say, yes, they're doing a great job, and seeing my brothers and sisters helping them to feed other people, that was a fantastic thing to see. And we have the people out here. We have people at every walk in the length and breadth of the Bahamas who can really help and make a difference in their own way. It doesn't necessarily mean we have to all just come together and say, we're going to help. But just imagine if you could reach out to this classroom and you could talk to them about leadership and tell them how they could make a difference in their life and how they could make a change. You let them see one area to the next area. You put together programs and training programs to help make a difference. And you go there and you teach that to happen. Not necessarily as your job, but as a fundamental part of your life to give back. You are now helping so many different people. Although I'm a hotelier and have been a worker so long, when I started writing books and getting them out, it was trying to figure out how I could give as well. So everything that you see that I would do, it's about figuring out how I could help somebody, how I could train, how I could develop. That's why I'm so happy when we talk about doing something for the creatives in this country and seeing what we could do to make sure it's out there, seeing what we could do for the business people out there, people in the straw market, different areas. Can you imagine right now if we in this beautiful country of ours realize that all the inventions needed right now, we have the minds that could possibly conceive it and make a difference, not just here in the Bahamas, but worldwide? I mean, there's so much that we can do. When we even talk about writers from that perspective, when we talk about those who are doing shows, movie makers, trailers, different things, we have it right here in the Bahamas. And this country could be the place where the world comes to see what's going to happen next in the world.
It's a wonderful thing to hear, and certainly it would be an even more wonderful thing to see. I am not one of those persons who believe in spontaneous combustion. And so when I hear these things, Roddy, my question is always going to be, where is that seed being planted? Who is currently nurturing? What are the systems which are in place? What is the pipeline which has been connected to the water source, which is going to cause the faucet to flow on an ongoing basis? And I'm not saying that they're not there, right? I'm saying that too often there are individuals who have the capabilities, the inclinations, the talent, but have to be plugged into these systems. And sometimes these systems are not readily visible. Like yeah. You said, sometimes where I sit, and I know I sit in very interesting, lowly places, but where
high places, high places.
I want us to be in a position where these possibilities become that much visible, where the guy can stay in his yard in the ghetto and see the Bel Airs and see the big pool and see the big yard, and all of a sudden his world start to open up. He now has a new vista. He have new possibilities just happening to him, and he's moving in that direction.
Yeah, it would be good if something would just happen like that. But unfortunately, where we live, it's not that easy. And that's why the question that I posed beforehand in the poem is there one person who can understand they're needed if only to prepare this plan and set out from now to make a difference and seen for prosperity untold when we begin to change? You see, it's sometimes could nearly be like finding a needle in the haystack or looking for that bright star out there, that person who, no matter how bad a company might be, you see that star in that company and you grab them and you highlight them because that's a light and that's a spark, and you get them and you help them and you mold them to become better, and they could make that area much better. I remember walking around to different stores when we were looking for employees. And I would go to a gas station, look for the best person who is serving gas, or to a food store, who is that cashier there, who is smiling with the customers, who is doing their work in a nice, pleasant way, somebody who is at a Pizza Hut restaurant where you walk into a Domino's or something, like, who is that great customer? Or even now in times where you see the persons coming door to door to drop off food or delivery, who is that special person? So we have to realize over here that there are people out there who are looking for stars, who want to give stars an opportunity to shine their brightest, but you have to step forward. And the way that you step forward, it's like I said beforehand, you do more than what you're being paid for. You work a little harder than the other person. When somebody is asleep at night, you be up writing that last line. Because that line, that one line or that one sentence could take 2 hours or more. But yet, you have to stay up and just fight for that one word.
The right word.
Right word. Mm-hmm. And that's just it. But you separate that, and that word, you change it to that right person.
Mm-hmm.
If you get that one person, sometimes they can make a difference. So when you see that light in that person's eyes, that one who may be shooting the marbles or standing on the side there looking up or singing hymnals and praise and worship in the church or somewhere else out there, and you say, wow, that person I know is going to make a difference. Well, how are you going to help them? That's what I'm calling for, if anything. Let's help someone out there. Let's help others to reach that goal.
The final line in this poem, and I'm sure we haven't given away all of it. We skip around. It's a long, long poem. So don't be fooled. Don't get frustrated. We haven't let the cat out of the bag in any way. So when he puts it out commercially, you will have a lot to chew on. But the very last line says, when we serve, we must be the best. Judge by merit and not settle for less. There are two things which jump out there, and that is one, service. Giving your service, giving it the best, because of course, leadership is service, service is leadership. But it also calls for this idea that we want to be elevated, we want to be moving forward, and we want to secure achievement on the basis of merit. And it's also calling for the individual to recognize and accept that, hold on to that, and don't allow yourself to be or to be treated less than you are. Talk to us about that.
Yes. You know, but because, see, when you're talking about judge by merit, that means that when I give and I give my best, judge me for what I'm doing. You'll see it. You'll see me giving my best. You'll see me put my best foot forward. I am going for it, and I won't settle for less. We mustn't settle for less. And when we talk about it from the country point of view, we must recognize the fact that we're not meant to be a nation of servants. Just this thought creates a disturbance. And the reason why I said that is because of the mere fact that, you know, we have to learn that we can lead in many different ways and aspects. And we have to start looking at it from that particular way in terms of trying to build ourselves to, we could be a cocktail waitress who becomes the owner of our own bar. We could start looking, and I'll throw these things out. We could start looking and hearing that there's a hotel name somewhere coming along. So we could now develop a restaurant that's nearby that's named over here. You know, to be creative in things like that. We can now look at our precious marine resources and try saying now that instead of just serving, we could provide the food. We can build our economy in many different ways. So although we have a service level country when it comes to our number one industry, tourism, giving service don't mean that you are a servant. Is giving your best in everything that you do, because it's by our merit, by us being the best out there, top of every other country around, trying to make sure that we're number one again and again. Now, number one doesn't mean that you must always be number one to be the best, because sometimes you won't be seen. But if you give your best each and every time and not settle for less, you'll make a difference out there. And that's what leaders do. They try to bring out the best in everyone and take them along. And that's what I want to do and with this poem, and also develop programs that we're going to have to do some training out there for kids in high schools, for people who are outside there. We're going to really push. And I say we, meaning that we'll have some more people with us trying to talk about the leadership vacuum and how we can really do something to make a change in this country. I want to make it better.
I think that is important. But the young man from Yellow Helder who is shooting marble on his side of the road is here with us this evening. And we had this wonderful conversation. We are talking about how do you move a people? How do you move a mindset? How do you cope within the corporate environment? How do you get to the place where there are roadblocks, but you decide, well, this is only one lane. Let me hop into the next lane and I can keep moving forward. And then on the other hand, when we ourselves find some way forward, when we become empowered, when we have gone through the experience so that we are in a position to be able to help someone else, then we do that, and we do that lavishly. We do that willingly. We do that with a sense of obligation, knowing that it is about developing other individuals and helping them to develop themselves and those around us. That is the way in which we are going to develop ourselves as a people, and in a wider sense, develop ourselves as a country. And we must do that. We must continue to push. We must continue to give. We must continue to serve. We must continue to work at our best. We must continue to become that group of individuals who base everything that we do on meritocracy. But we also must be at a place where we accept and demand that, hey, we are not going to settle for less. And we are also want you to know, you and you and all of you to know that you should not do that to us. You should not ask us to settle for less, because we believe, we are confident that we have the wherewithal, we have the ability to be who we are designed to be, to live out our full potential and to become the best person that we were created to be, created in God's image, to be this individual who for this time here and now has a gift, if you will, a set of talent to deliver into the psyche, to deliver into the treasure box of humanity. And so we had this wonderful conversation. And as we go out, I just want to ask you, Radhasi, to speak especially to the young people. So we have about 3 minutes to go. So I want you to take 1.5 of that. And I want you to say to young people, what is it that they need to focus on? You want to be in the schools, you want to teach them, you want to guide them, but I want you to use this platform right now to speak to them. Tell them that it is possible, but also tell them how it will be possible.
Thank you so much for this opportunity, H.E. Yes, for using your platform to be able to talk to the youth of the nation with regards to the possibilities in this world. First of all, I want to tell you it is so important out there for the students who are graduating and who are in school. Number one, learn how to read. Read. Also write. This may seem to be something so simple, something so easy, something so trivial. However, that is so important for you to do. You must learn to read, you must learn to write, because we and everybody out there want to make sure that you're coming out of school and you're able to communicate. So communication is so important. Number two, when you get out there, I want you to give your best. be able to give your best and get ready to learn. Because if you're not going off to college, does not mean you won't be successful. It means that you have to take another path towards success. So when somebody is going off to school and they're studying, God bless them, let them go, let them study hard, come back here and make a difference in this country and really work hard and get to the top and help others below them. If, and once again, if you're not going, you can still study and you can learn. The internet is one of the greatest learning tools, the YouTubes, everything else, and you can do it. And then work harder than everybody else. If you work harder than everyone else and work smarter than everyone else, you can make a difference and gain courage. Courage is one of the most important things that you can possibly do. Get courage in your heart. Get courage and believe that God will carry you through. That is my message to the students out there. Thank you so much, HE, for this opportunity.
It's certainly a pleasure. I always look forward to having a discussion with you, always. Very uplifting, very encouraging, very inspirational. And I thank you for being here with me. I thank you out there in Radio Land for listening. We always end by saying, do not allow your greatness to become a victim of your unwillingness to change. You've heard Roddy C tonight. Make the moves. Do the things which are necessary, which are going to move you forward and make you a better person so you can grow better families, better community, and a better world. All I want to say now is to walk good, take care, one love, and Ubuntu. Good night.